That God, don't you love God's word?
Yes.
It is so, it is life to us. Turn to Romans 4. We're going to just find a place to hook up. We've been talking about the reign of God's grace, how we reign in life by the grace of God. And we talked about, you know, with grace, it's about receiving, not about achieving. Amen? It's about receiving all that God has done for us in Christ Jesus. And He has provided, the Bible says, everything pertaining unto life and godliness has been provided for us by the grace of God through Christ Jesus. Amen? And so it's a matter of us discovering and embracing and believing and obeying the grace of God as it is revealed to us by the Holy Spirit through this Word of God, the Holy Bible. Amen? Hallelujah. In Romans 4, just a quick way to kind of hook up from last week, verse 13, it says, "It was not through the law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith." It is not through the keeping of the law. You are not justified through the keeping of the law. I don't care whether it's the law of the old covenant or the law that some people have tried to put up, the law that we've created in a religious system in our churches, whatever it may be. It may be, you know, all these systems and traditions and all this kind of thing that you got to do this way or that way or the other way. That is not the way the Bible says that you are justified. That you will not receive the promise because, you know, your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds. Are you listening? Now, I know I'm preaching mostly to Christians, but Christians are the ones that need to hear this. Because, you know, as sinners, we were told that, you know, that you cannot be good enough. You cannot measure up. There's no way that you can do it. You have got to come freely by the grace of God in Christ Jesus. You've got to believe on the finished work of Calvary. You've got to believe in that. That's the only way you can be forgiven, justified, saved, whatever the term we heard. And you know, but as soon as we get in as believers, oh, look out. We're strapped by all kinds of rules, regulations, and laws that people want to impose on us. And remember, we looked in Galatians, in our study, we've looked at Galatians, and Paul had to address the same thing, because in the Galatians' day, there were people called the Judaizers. And they said, now what Paul preached to you was good, but, how many of you ever heard that? Yeah, you got saved and all your sins are forgiven now that you're in Christ Jesus, but now that you're there, you got to do this and you got to keep that and you got to do this and you got to measure up here and you got to do all these things. Come on. And so as Christians, we labored under something that the Bible has already unequivocally said that no man could keep. By the law, no man will be justified. And Paul wrote, and he said, you have begun your race in faith. He said, that's the same way you got to finish your course. So here, notice what he said to Abraham. He said, it was not through the law that he received the promise, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. For if those who live by law are heirs, faith has no value and the promise is worthless. If you're trying to receive from God by trying to be a good Christian, come on, and hoping that somehow if you do enough of this or enough of that or enough of the other, that you're going to be blessed, that God's going to look on you favorably, I want to tell you what, you are making the grace of God and the promise of God in that aspect, you're making it worthless. Because the Bible says if you could earn it, then we could boast before God. But the Bible has concluded that no man, God's going to shut every mouth so that nobody can boast except in the Lord. And so when I learn to live in the same grace that has saved me and redeemed me and forgiven me, when I learn to live in that grace, all it's going to do is going to cause me to boast that much more in the Lord. It's going to cause me to see the awesomeness of my salvation. It's going to cause me to see the power that is at work within me. That same power that raised Jesus from the dead is in work within me. Remember we said, and we looked at the scriptures. I'm kind of reviewing a little bit. We're going to hook up and move on in a minute. But we remember we said that the law is like a mirror. You look into a mirror. How many of you looked into a mirror this morning? Combing your hair, shaving, doing whatever you was doing, you know, for an hour, 2 hours, whatever it was. But you look in that mirror, and you know, no matter how much you look in that mirror, that mirror cannot change the way you look. All it can do is reveal how you look. And if you look real close and long enough, and you know, I remember one time, you know these mirrors, guys, that your wife may have, you know, they're the magnification type mirrors, you know. Oh, boy. You look into one of those babies. Oh, my goodness. You'll fall out of love with yourself in a hurry, won't you? But you know, the longer you look at it, what? The more blemishes you see, the more things you see. Isn't that right? And the Bible says that's all the law could do. The law is good. The law is perfect. God gave it. But all the law could do was reveal to us all our falls, all our sins, all our shortcomings. But it could not change us. And so here's the thing. Grace has the ability, not only when we look into grace, you know what we're doing? We're not looking into that mirror of legalism in the law. We're looking into, the Bible says, we look into the face of Jesus. So I look in the mirror, and all of a sudden, the mirror of God's grace in Jesus Christ, I don't see myself anymore. I see Him. And He is perfect. Without spot, without blemish, without flaw. Woo, man. I just got better looking. Got a big head of hair left. You know, I'm speaking naturally, but spiritually that's true, isn't it? And that's what the Bible says. We are in Him. God sees us that way, and we are to begin to look into the perfect law of liberty. What is the law of liberty? It is grace. The grace of God. Amen. All right, let's hook up from there. It's a little bit of a review. If you need more, you can order the CDs, or you can go on our website, graceonthemove.org, and you can listen to it. It won't cost you anything. Turn to John's Gospel, chapter 1. The grace of God. What is the grace? We're going to talk about it a little bit this morning. John 1, 14, we're going to read there in just a moment. Let me just give you some thoughts I have about God's grace here. God's grace is God's willingness to use His power on your behalf. You know, if you have any concept of God at all, you know this, that by definition, God must have power. Isn't that right? Just by definition, God must have power. Because He doesn't have any power, He's not a God. Isn't that right? So here's the thing, but knowing that God has power doesn't necessarily bring us into a place of receiving. But when we begin to understand that God is willing to use that power to bless and to redeem and to lift us, then all of a sudden we begin to understand a little bit what grace is. Grace is about the willingness of God to use His power. Grace, we can look at it this way. Grace is the vehicle for God's ability. How does God's ability come to me? Through the keeping of the law? No. Because I'm so good looking. Well, you are, but no, it's not that way. No, it comes, God's ability comes to me by His grace. Wow. Amen. It is the basis, listen, God's grace is the basis for faith that receives. Remember we said grace is about receiving, not achieving. It is the basis. How many times as Christians we come to God in prayer, we have a need or something, and we come to God and we're feeling guilt-ridden, we're full of condemnation, we're feeling so unworthy, we're feeling all those things. Why? We're not coming by grace. You know what that tells me? You're coming to God through the prism of some law. You say, yeah, but I've sinned. Well, what does the Bible say? If we confess our sins, what? He is just and faithful, what? To forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How long does that take? Does it take God 50 years to cleanse you from that? I mean, in a moment, in an instant of time, in the new birth, we come to God. What? All our sins were wiped out. It didn't take God 50 years to do that. He did it in the moment you believe, and it came by grace. So it's the same way. The basis of faith is grace. Oh, but Pastor, you just don't understand. I don't measure up. I know the Bible made that clear. You don't understand. I don't just do everything just right. I know the Bible made that clear. That's the whole. Why do you think Jesus came in the flesh and went to Calvary? If you could do it all, if just one person could do it all, the Bible teaches us Jesus wouldn't have come. Because that one person would have set a standard. God said, okay, the rest of you humans, see there, that one human did it, you can do it. But the God-man came, all man and all God. You don't understand that any more than I do. You just have to accept it by faith. How could he be all man and all God at the same time? But he was. I said he was. Amen. Hallelujah. He still is. Yeah. Amen. John 1:14, it says, the Word became flesh, made His dwelling among us, and we have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. When Jesus came, what was He full of? Full of grace. Ooh, full of grace. Now let me help you out. We're going to have just a short little theology lesson here, just a short one. The word grace translated here in every place except for one scripture in James chapter 1 verse 11. The word grace comes from the word charis. It's where we get our word charisma or charismatic. It means gifts. Now, let me share with you from Strong's commentary what it means. The word charis, listen. The word grace, as it relates to you and I, who are the recipients, it means that which bestows or occasions pleasure, delight, or favorable regard. Amen? Grace is that which bestows or occasions pleasure, delight, or favorable regard concerning us who receive it. Now, how many of you know when something's good? Bless God, I do. I know we get all religion. See, religion has twisted us and got us all confused. Well, now, I wouldn't say that that's good. The Bible says, you know, God said this, woe unto them that call good evil and evil good. Are you listening? James put it this way. He said, every good gift comes from the Father. God's not making people sick. That's one area we twisted around and said, oh, well, you know, God's going to bring something good out of it. Well, God will redeem every situation that we will allow Him to. Amen? But that doesn't mean that what happened had to happen in order for God to do something. Isn't that right? Because Jesus was perfect. Amen? He didn't mess up at all, but yet what? God still used Him, didn't He? Amen? So here's the thing. He says, that which occasions what? Delight. You know what? When God made man, He put him in a place called Eden. You know what Eden means? Delight. And so it was a place of innocence. It was a place of grace. And we have been restored back to that place because what? Jesus was full of grace. Didn't say He was full of the law. Didn't say He was full of condemnation. He didn't say He was full of wrath, full of judgment, full of out to get you. He said He was full of grace and truth. Look down in verse 17 there. It says, for the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Whew. Let me give you another one from Vines. Grace, this word charis, it means the friendly, everybody say friendly.
Friendly.
The friendly disposition from which the kind act proceeds. In other words, you know what? God's disposition toward you is not, all right, I guess I'll bless them. Doggone it. If I have to, I have to. No, it says He's got a friendly disposition toward you. He wants to do it. He likes to do it. He desired to do it. He went out of His way to do it. Remember what the scripture says? In that while we were yet sinners, God sent Christ. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Listen to this. It means graciousness, loving kindness, goodwill, benefit, bounty, and liberality. That's what Jesus is full of. Full of graciousness. Mark 1:40. You remember the story of the leper that came to Jesus. And remember what he said? He said, Lord, if you will, you can. You know, that's where a whole lot of Christians are. It's not, they know God can. God can save. God can heal. God can do all these things. God can provide. God can deliver. But here's the crux of the matter. That leper knew that God could. He had to find out that Jesus was full of grace. Remember what Jesus said? He said, I am willing. You know what he was saying? I am grace from God. I am grace. I am disposed. I am eager. I am ready to do it. Wow. Doesn't that make it easier to receive when you know God's ready? He is disposed. His attitude toward you is, I can't wait to bless you. Well, that'd be real. That's real hard to receive from somebody with that attitude, isn't it? That's easy. But see, we thought God's up there. He's doling it out with the eyedropper. Wait a minute. He got two drops. Come on. Remember, we said it means liberality. In Mark 1:40, that he was full of graciousness to the leper. Full of bounty. We just read that in Philippians 4:19. He said, my God shall supply all of your need. If he had just said most of it, that'd been a pretty good deal. He said, I'll supply all of your need. He's full of bounty. Amen. This is the Jesus of the Bible. This is the gospel that means good news. And of course, we know there in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 where he said, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you so that at all times, in all situations and circumstances, you will have everything you need. Why? Because you've got Jesus and he is full of God's grace, God's bounty, God's graciousness, God's liberality. Woo! Like one of my Bible school professors said, you can't lose with the stuff we use. Amen? If you got the right stuff, and the right stuff is what? The gospel. It, full of loving kindness. In Psalm 145 over there, it says, God is slow to anger, gracious, full of loving kindness. Wow. Isn't that good? This is the Jesus to whom you belong. This is the Jesus that's living on the inside of you as a believer. This is the attitude and the heart of God in Jesus towards you this morning. Listen, Jesus was disposed to do the things he did because he was full of God's grace. What was motivating him? The grace of God. It wasn't that they deserved it. It wasn't that they kept the law. It wasn't that their good deeds outweighed their bad deeds. It wasn't that he just said, you know what, I just kind of like you. It was because what he was motivated by the grace of God. Amen? All the grace of God. Now, turn over to Luke. And I want you to look at something. You know, one thing about it, people haven't changed. Amen? Oh, I know, we got cell phones and satellites and internet and cars and jets and all, but I want to tell you, human being in itself, the human condition, nature, has not changed. Isn't that right? Hadn't changed a bit. Now, Jesus, here in Luke 4, a little background, Jesus comes to Nazareth, and you know this is after the baptism of John in the River Jordan. The Spirit, remember the dove, like the Spirit comes upon him, and God speaks out of heaven, remember that? He said, this is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased, hear ye him. Then he is led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And for 40 days and nights, he is there in the wilderness, tempted by the devil, and during this time, he is fasting. For 40 days, fasting and praying. He's out there with God. Now, right after that, he comes back in verse 4:14 says, Jesus returned to Galilee and the power of the Spirit. And it says, and news about him went throughout all the countryside. And he went to Nazareth where he'd been brought up. You know what it is. He went into the synagogue. He stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. And notice, he began to read. He found the place and he began to read verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. Good news. Good news. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for prisoners recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now notice what he said here. He came back anointed in the power of the Spirit. He's ready to start his ministry, and he begins to proclaim a message here. He talks about the good news, and he said part of that, he said, is to proclaim freedom for prisoners, recovery of sight to the blind, release of the oppressed, and proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now I want you to notice, if you go on reading here, this whole synagogue full of people got mad at him. I mean, they were livid. It says that, you go and read up, it says they rose up and got ready to just take him outside. There was a cliff nearby. They were just going to throw him off the cliff. Woo. Boy, I never had anybody get that mad at me. I've had some folks get upset with what I preach, but Lord of mercy. I never had anybody want to throw me off a cliff, Arthur. Lord. Now, what, do you see anything there that would make people that mad? I mean, read that again. They got mad over this message he preached. I mean, what would make you mad about good news? That Jesus is anointed to preach good news, to set the prisoners free, the sight to the blind, release the oppressed, and proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. What in the world is in that to make people mad, Arthur? Can you see that? I want to tell you what it was. You know, they got mad because what? Here was this religious people. They had their customs. They had their way of doing things. And here they are. In their land, they are occupied by a foreign nation, Rome. And here is this young upstart carpenter preacher, hadn't been to Bible school, coming out of one of the smallest backwater towns in all the country. And he didn't come out of one of the rabbinical schools in Jerusalem. Here he is. He comes out of there. He's speaking this funny southern accent from Galilee. Well, you know, it says over there, if you read your Bible carefully, you know, it says that they knew Jesus' disciples were from Galilee because of the way they spoke. It was a regional dialect. So all of this was going on. They didn't like it because here's this guy preaching to them. He's telling them, Dwayne, listen, you can be free from Rome. You can be free. You can be blessed. You can be healed. Well, they hadn't had any freedom, any blessing, or any healing in their synagogue since before their grandpappy could remember. They hadn't had any of it. They'd just come to church, read the scriptures, nodded their head, said amen, went home, come back, read the scriptures, nodded their head, went back, and they went right through this. And they were doing what? Playing church. See what I mean about things haven't changed much, have they? But when Jesus began to preach to them about the covenant, when he began to preach to them about the grace of God, when he began to reveal the grace of God in this message, it made those legalistic religious folk mad. Don't tell me we can have that now. That's one of these days. We get to Abraham's bosom. Come on. But Jesus said, notice what he said. He rolled up the scroll in verse 20. The eyes of all them were fastened on him, and he began to say, today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Oh, buddy, that got him mad. See, if he'd have preached to one of these days, Grace, that'd be okay. Isn't that right? One of these days we're going to be well. One of these days we're going to be free. One of these days when we get to heaven, folks won't be sick. One of these days, we get to heaven, our needs will be met. Well, my God, yeah. But it's not a one of these days grace message that Jesus preached. He preached a today grace message. You know why? Because he says, here I am. I'm full of grace. I'm sent from God. I'm anointed. I'm full of grace. Here I am. You can be free today. You can see today. You can be healed today. And then what really got him burned up was where he said, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now let me get, we won't have time to get into all this, but I would encourage you, read from Leviticus chapter 25. Jesus is making a reference here to the year of Jubilee. The favorable year of the Lord. Now in the year of Jubilee, it was on the 50th year, God said, here's what you're going to do. He said, on the Day of Atonement, this is important. On the Day of Atonement in the 50th year, what happened on the Day of Atonement? what? The high priest went in. You know the story. He went into the Holy of Holies. He sprinkled the blood on the mercy seat. That mercy seat covered a box, a gold overlaid box. And in that box, okay, was manna, okay? There was the Aaron's rod that budded, and then there was the Ten Commandments. And over that mercy seat was the presence of God. He sprinkled the blood on that. And you know what? That blood on the mercy seat, it separated the people of God at that point from the law, which they could not keep, and allowed the grace of God to come upon them for that moment. And he said, at that moment, when the blood is applied, when the grace of God is released and has separated you from the judgment of the law, he said, then you sound the trumpet. Sound the trumpet throughout all the land. Notice he didn't say, just sound the trumpet in the church. He didn't say, just sound the trumpet among the rich. He didn't say, just sound the trumpet in Jerusalem. He said, throughout all the land. Now get this, and he said, every man will return to his possession. Woo! He said there will be what? Redemption in the land. Yeah. That means if you lost your house, you got your house back. Glory to God. You lost your car, in this case it might have been a donkey or a mule, you got it back. If your family, you'd gotten so poor and you had to sell yourself to somebody to work for them, when that trumpet sounded, bless God, they went free. Now you think about this. Can you imagine if you were one of those unfortunates and you'd lost everything? Lost your house. You're working over here for this man. Your sons are working over here for this man. Your daughters are working over here for this man. Mama's working over here for this family. And you're all separated there. You've lost your house. You've lost your property. And I mean, bless God, tomorrow is the day. Woo! Tomorrow is the day of Jubilee. Oh, glory. Talk about not sleeping. I mean, I bet they were down in a three-point stance. Soon as that trumpet sounds, I'm going to get mama and the kids and we're going back home, and glory to God, we're going to have ourselves a time. Now you think about it. That was the grace of God. There wasn't anything in the law about that. That was Jubilee. That's what Jesus was preaching. That's why they got mad. Now, let me back up just a minute. Now, what caused that to happen? I mean, you know, the sun got up the next day on the day of Jubilee, just like any other day. They were the same person they always were. They dressed the same way. Everything was the same. What made the difference? Well, we know one of the things was what? When the blood was sprinkled. Isn't that right? The blood had to be sprinkled. Well, the Bible says that we have a better covenant, established on better promises, because what? The blood of Jesus is so much superior to the blood of the bulls and goats that brought grace to them. Isn't that right? Yeah. So the blood was the issue. Part of the issue, wasn't it? The blood, he said, don't do it. It wouldn't have worked before the Day of Atonement. Because why? There was no blood. There was no blood. And then the second thing, though, is what? The trumpet, the priest was responsible for blowing a silver trumpet. Silver stands for redemption. They blow the trumpet. What is the trumpet? It is the gospel. What I'm preaching to you, I'm sounding the trumpet right now. I'm blowing the trumpet throughout the land here in Grace. I'm sounding the trumpet. I'm sounding the trumpet. You are free. You are forgiven. You are blessed. You are redeemed. God will restore to you everything that the enemy has stolen. Which brings us to the last part. And that was, people had to believe it. They had to believe it. And this is why they got so mad. Is when did God say the Jubilee was to be stopped? If you read it, he said it's for perpetuity. What happened? How did this people who had this Jubilee of grace incorporated into their culture from God, how did they come to such a sorry state where they were occupied by a foreign country? They were broke, they were miserable, they were bound, they were sick, and everything. What happened? They forgot and stopped believing and receiving Jubilee. This is why they got so mad. How dare you, you upstart country preacher from backwater Galilee, tell us that we can be free? Don't you see Rome out here? Don't you see all these circumstances? Don't you see all our problems? Don't you see everything? What are you? Who in the world are you? You're a crazy man. They had so forgotten who they really were as the people of God, as the covenant. They forgot that they were Abraham's seed. Remember we read there in Romans, how did Abraham receive the promise? By faith. By faith. How is the promise negated? When we try to keep the law. What happened to them? They forgot the promise that came by faith through Jubilee, and so they just stopped believing it. At somewhere along the line, God knows, somewhere along the line, they stopped celebrating Jubilee. They stopped sounding the trumpet. They stopped doing it. Maybe you know, one year they were practicing Jubilee, and it had just gotten to be old hat to them, and one guy went up and said, okay, it's Jubilee, I'm getting my house back. No, you ain't. I ain't giving this to you. Does that sound familiar? Amen. What's the devil tell you? No, you ain't getting this back. You ain't getting your kids back. You ain't getting your healing. You ain't getting none of this. I'll tell you, that Jubilee stuff passed away. Nothing new to it. Same old stuff. But it says that Jesus was full of grace. Notice this. Let me read you some things here. It says, one, it says that grace, what was on the Day of Atonement, grace was supplied by the sprinkling of the blood. We already said in Hebrews 8:6, we have a better promises because of a better sacrifice. God told them, he said, this atonement, this day of Jubilee, he says, honor it because it is a holy thing unto your God. We need to honor what grace has provided. Why? Because it's a holy thing to God. When God's grace is released in your life in all its fullness, it honors God. It honors His Son. It honors the blood. He said it's a holy thing. No, you didn't do it. No, you didn't deserve it. That's not the issue. Get yourself off your mind. That's your problem. The law will keep you self-focused. Grace will keep you Christ-focused. You're looking in that law, that mirror again of the law. I can tell you what it's going to tell you. Look at all those blemishes. I mean, you know, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I figured that out by now. Because of His grace alone, we are what? To proclaim liberty throughout the land. It is to everyone whosoever will. Now, here's the thing. But just like Israel, if we stop believing, we stop receiving. That's what happened to them. And so many of the wonderful, precious people of God, that's the same thing that's happened to them. They've allowed unbelief, doubt, legalism, traditions that have been passed down through the church and different ones to rob them of the power of God through His grace. Oh, well, if I just do enough, I know that God will do it. Well, no. No, you read over there. I don't have time today, but in Leviticus 25, you read over there, God doesn't make one mention about anybody's good works. It's not mentioned even in Leviticus 20. Not mentioned that one time. All it's mentioned is what? Is the blood sprinkled on the mercy seat, the silver trumpet of redemption proclaimed throughout the land, and then the people believe in it. You know, they just went up and got their house. Man, on the day of redemption, he just said, hallelujah, I'll take the keys back, thank you. Amen. Go by and get my mule on the way. You know what they did? They got a brand new start, didn't they? What is grace? God's grace about giving you a brand new start? Giving you a brand new start. Amen. Listen. The Bible says during this time that no one, He commanded them, no one should oppress another one. God's oppression. God says, put oppression from you. Here's the thing. You know what? If I feel like I'm better than you, then you know what? It's going to lead me in some way to begin to oppress you. But if I realize we're all in the same boat, what I received by grace, I didn't earn it. Just like what you received by grace and you didn't earn it. So I don't have any area to boast in. I can't boast to you. Well, I'll tell you one thing, boy, if you're just like me. Well, I got news for you. They are just like you. You were a sinner. You got saved by grace. And you're going to continue to live in grace. And it's free. It's a free gift from God. It come to you freely. And though, so you cannot boast in anything. You cannot say, oh, I did this or I did that. No, God did it. God did it. Stop trying to help God out. Amen. He said, there was a special working of God's grace. But here's the thing. You know what? Abraham didn't just walk in this in the 50th year. What was God trying to get them to understand here? That there was something higher than the law. Do you know Abraham didn't have the law? How many? I know it's five after. How many give me 5 more minutes? Okay, 5 more minutes. Listen to this. I want to help you. I want to help you. Listen, Abraham lived 400 years before the law was given. 400 years. He received all the benefits and the blessings of God by grace through faith. And it was accounted to him, what? As righteousness. That's why the Bible says we are that way. But what God did, he gave the law. What? Because men's heart, the men of hearts were hardened through sin and unbelief, so he gave the law. But the law was not for them to try to keep. This is where they missed it. The law was to show them that they needed to be justified the same way that their father Abraham was justified, by faith. And so he put the Jubilee in there to help them understand that, because the Jubilee was not based on law. It was based on grace through faith. And so Jesus comes and he says, listen, you can now live every day in the Jubilee. You don't have to wait till the 50th year. He said, I'm here, Jesus speaking. I'm here. I'm anointed. I'm sent by God. I am now your Jubilee. But they didn't like it. And you know, it's amazing to me. There's a lot of Christians don't like it today. When you say, God will heal you. God will bless you. God is favorable toward you. God does want to lift you up and bring you out. God does want to be the glory and the lifter of your head. God does want to help your children and bless your family. God is out to help humanity, not to punish it, not to judge it. He's out to bless. People get mad at that. Oh, you're just giving that greasy grace. Well, if that's your view of it, I can understand why you have that attitude. But if you look at grace as coming through Jesus, if you see the awful price that he paid at Calvary, his sacrifice, if you see all that he paid, the wrath, the judgment that was put on him, the separation from God that was his portion in his life, when you see the awful price it paid, you'll understand it's not greasy grace. It's grace that came from the heart of love, a love you cannot comprehend except by faith. Stop trying to earn God's blessing. Stop trying to earn God's favor. Stop trying to earn, you know, maybe sooner or later, one of these days, God's going to like me. I got news for you. He likes you now. He likes you now. Amen. Abraham was called the friend of God. You know what? You're God's friend too. I said, you're God's friend too. If you're a believer, if you've embraced the grace of God, you're God's friend too. God's not out to get you. God's out to liberate you. God's out to lift you. And if you will just begin, what? To sound the trumpet in your own life. Sound the trumpet. You know, on Wednesday nights, we're going through a course. A number of people here at Grace are going through a course called, we call it Ministry 301, but we're discovering who is a ministry, who is a minister, what does a minister do, so forth, taking our place. You know, but here's the thing. One of the things we do as priests before God is what? We sound the trumpet. That was the job of the priest. The priest had to sound the trumpet. And listen, you're the priest in your home, in your household. You need to sound the trumpet of God's word. Declare what God, what it, through Jesus, has done for you. Declare that it is powerful, that it is effective, that it is working in you 24/7, that it's greater than sin, greater than the devil, it's greater than the flesh, it's greater than circumstance, it's greater than anything that you face or will ever face in this life and the life to come. Nothing can separate you from the grace of God. See, don't get up and sound that other trumpet. That brass trumpet. Brass stood for sin. So too many people are blowing the wrong trumpet. You're blowing the brass trumpet. Yeah, but you don't know, Pastor. This is wrong and that's wrong and I fall short here and this is wrong and that's wrong and I didn't do this and I didn't do that. And besides that, I got this pain. I got this and I got that and everything's up now. You're sounding the wrong trumpet. He said, you go back and read Leviticus. He said, sound the silver, redemptive trumpet. Yeah. Sound the redemptive trumpet, not the brass trumpet. Brass stands for sin. You got yourself on your mind. You got the law on your mind. You got all this legalism on your mind. You need to get occupied with Jesus. Yeah. You need to get occupied. Come on over and live in the new covenant. Boy, I'm telling you. Woo, come on in. The water's fine. It's so much better. You know, of course, you know, some people might have to be like, a guy was watching and he saw somebody, drowning in the water. They were flailing around, like crazy, trying to, somebody in that condition, you could throw them a cement block and they'd grab it. Why? They're all desperate. They're desperate. And, sometimes, we're flailing around like that. We're trying to live for God. We're trying to get it all right. We're trying to get all our ducks in a row, We're flailing around like that. God says, well, this guy says, what you got to do to save somebody like that, if you jump in too quick, they'll drown you too. He said, just let them wear themselves out a little bit. So here's the thing. You know what? God may let you wear yourself out a little bit. You finally going to come. Let me just tell you, though, you're going to come to a place where you realize, just like the rest of us have had to realize, you cannot do it. You can't do it. I got my little, my clip fell out here. How much? Wonder how much a clip like this would weigh. Okay. Tell you what. Can you come out here just like this and hold this clip up for 24 hours in the same hand? And we'll declare you are something else. It probably don't even weigh an ounce. See, that's what it's like trying to keep the law. You're trying to keep it. You can't do it. You can't do it. I said, you can't do it. Say this with me. I can't do it. I can't do it. And you know what? The good news is you don't have to. It's already been done. The Bible says Jesus came and he was full of grace and he's full of truth. And we're going to continue to look at this. This is absolutely, I understand, this is fundamental to the gospel. But you know what? Sometimes we need to revisit it because we forget it. And if you forget this, you're going to be laboring in the flesh of dead works under some kind of law that you've imposed or somebody's imposed on you. You're going to live a life constantly of frustration, feeling guilt, condemned, and all of those things. And next week, Lord willing, we're going to look at that. We're going to talk about that. One of the things that has come through grace is the free gift of righteousness. Righteousness means my ability to stand in the presence of God without guilt or condemnation or wrath. Hallelujah. That's why he says, come boldly to the throne. Most of us crawl up to the throne of grace, hoping God won't see everything that's wrong with us, not understanding that how he sees us and how we're looking at us is just the difference between Jesus' message on that day and all those people sitting in the synagogue. Listen, God did it. I know it, if it wasn't in the Bible, it'd be too good to be true. But hallelujah, it's good news. It's good news. Jesus said, I'm anointed to preach good news. Amen. Would you bow your head just for a moment? Hallelujah. I've endeavored to, however inadequately, to convey to you the greatness of this covenant of grace that has come to us through Christ Jesus. But it is so far greater than anything my small efforts to describe it this morning. It's so much beyond that. The Bible says the power that's at work within us is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask, dream, think, or imagine. This is God's grace. This morning, if you're laboring, if you're a believer, but you've been laboring under some kind of legalistic system, whether it's self-imposed or imposed by traditions of men, listen, I want to tell you in the name of Jesus that here today, like Jesus said, I am anointed. I am anointed to preach the gospel to you this morning. You do not have to carry that around anymore. You don't have to feel guilt. You don't have to feel condemnation anymore. I release you from that in the name and by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Get your eyes on Jesus. Get your faith in the Lamb of God. Maybe you're here this morning and you're laboring that way, or you've never embraced the grace of God. I want to pray for you. Would you just raise your hand right where you're seated? Raise it, put it down, and I'm going to pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. I see those two hands. Anybody else? Now, Father, you see, thank you. Father, you see these hands. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you will give a revelation to these about the grace of God. That, Lord, that you were in Christ reconciling the world to yourself. Lord, you've forgiven us all our sins. You put them all on Jesus. We are forgiven. You're not mad at them. You're not angry with them. You're not out to get them. You're out to save and to give them a brand new start, to give them peace and joy and to lift them up. Father, may they understand. And right now, in Jesus' name, I pray, receive the free gift of God. It's by faith in Jesus. Ask him to come into your life. Ask him to forgive you. Just tell him in your own words, I receive your grace now. I receive you, Jesus, into my life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Well, would you stand to your feet? Hallelujah. Those that lifted your hand, if you would, just before you leave, I've got some information, a little booklet that'll help you out here, to help explain some things that I've been teaching on a little bit. If you'll see me before you leave, I'd love to give you one of these books and put it in your hand. Hallelujah. Isn't God good, church? Isn't God good? Listen, this is the message of the gospel, the power of God unto salvation. This is what sets men free. And this is the message that's going out from this church to the nations of the world. You have a part. You have a part. This is what God is doing in us and through us. Father, thank you today. Thank you today. Lord, you said that all the promises of God are yes, and we add our amen to it. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Whatever's needed, joy, peace, healing, provision, it's all ours. And Lord, we're going to sound the trumpet at home. We're going to sound the gospel trumpet. We're going to speak the promises of God. We're going to speak the word of God out of our mouth. We're going to declare it so in our lives, in our family, in our homes. We're going to declare it so in our city. Thank you, Lord, that Jesus is still anointed. He's still our Jubilee. And he is still full of grace and truth. Lord, make this message indelible in our hearts, I pray. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. 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 Well, tomorrow night, 6:30, we have prayer here. I want to encourage you. Wednesday night at 7:15, we're going to be teaching you about your ministry. You have a ministry. Hallelujah. Amen.